Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 429, stanza 4. Lord, though I walk mid trouble sore, thou wilt restore my faltering spirit. Though angry foes my soul alarm, thy mighty arm will save and cheer it. And what follows? Psalter 429, stanza 4. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 51. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 51. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. O Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, then it is pleased thee by renewal in thy divine providence and in thy great mercy and thy patient long suffering to grant unto us and our children that we may be given to see the light of another day. Then thou wast given another Lord's day. And, O Lord, may it please thee, when we may be in thy house, to grant a soft heart, and that by the first time, but also by renewal, O Lord. Thou knowest by nature how carnal, how earthly, and how vain our hearts are. And thou knowest most perfectly how it has been with our hearts in the week gone by, whether they were hearts that were given to consider all thy goodness and all thy mercies were in the past week, then thou wast spared, provided, protected, cared, and granted so many blessings above most of our fellow travelers, whether there were hearts that were exercised with their sins, with separation, with the things of the Lord. Lord, thou knowest most perfectly how that each and every one has come up to thy courts in this morning hour. May there have been of those souls with earnest longings and desires that they may be given to hear thy voice and experience thy blessed communion. And our Lord, when it is missed, may it please thee to grant it in thy house. May thou grant those exercises which we have heard of the psalmist concerning his sins, that he was given to cry unto thee and to confess, against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, but also with the prayer, that he may be purged, be restored into that blessed communion, and enabled to praise thy great and worthy name, and exercised with the coming of thy kingdom. Lord, then surely, then in the past week, and also in this morning hour, in all the trials of life, then thou granteth many reasons to praise thy great and worthy name. But, Lord, thou knowest that in the natural heart it is not to be found. It is a gift which thy dear Son has merited for his people, and which is granted and exercised by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we humbly ask thee, may it please thee to bless thy holy word for the conversion of our boys and our girls, for our young people, the middle-aged, and the elderly ones. We all stand in need of the same thing as thou hast declared in thy holy word. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And, Lord, thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee, that shall also be fulfilled in this morning hour. Either a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. And to that end, wilt thou come down with thy Holy Spirit in a special way, a richer outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon young and old. Wilt thou spare us, that we build not upon sandy foundations, and wilt thou remember thy people. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Thou knowest their condition. Lord, wilt thou instruct, comfort, encourage, and also correct. And may there be no resting outside of that only name given under heaven, the precious name of Jesus Christ, whereby we must be saved as the way to the Father. Lord, we commend thy church unto thee. Remember all those whom thou hast called to labor in thy vineyard. Remember all thy truly called servants, who is sufficient unto these things. Remember elders and deacons, and do help the student in this day. Remember all the sowers of the word over the length and the breadth of the earth. Lord, remember all the temporal needs. We may acknowledge thee at the moment that in the midst of the congregation that there is not one in the hospital. That is also thy doing. May we be given to see thy hand therein, although it is so necessary that we come in that other hospital, of that heavenly physician, that we may be washed and cleansed of all of our sins through his precious blood. Lord, we commend unto thee a young mother who was underwent her second treatment this past week, received encouraging reports concerning the first treatment. We humbly ask thee, may the second one also be blessed. Wilt thou help her with her pain and discomfort? Wilt thou grant strengthening and healing? And, our Lord, above all, that this calling may be sanctified in the midst of that family circle for wife and husband and for the children. Wilt thou remember all under the physician's care, relatives among young and old, the different circumstances, they are all known unto thee. Wilt thou graciously spread thy wings over them, and that the means may be blessed and the calling sanctified. We remember all widowers, widows, those that have brought children and other loved ones to the cemetery. Remember all of our elderly ones in the care home, with those that may lovingly care for them, those that may still go in and out, may come up to thy house. We commend them all unto thee, for body and for soul. Lord, we commend unto thee a young couple who were united in holy matrimony in this past week. Two sorrowing families, we commend that couple unto thee on their first Lord's Day as husband and wife. May it please thee to bless thy word to their young hearts, and then it would be a Lord's Day that would never be forgotten. We humbly ask thee for thy help in this morning hour. Send help down from the sanctuary and strengthen from on high. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers? May thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, those that are lawfully hindered in their dwellings? Wilt thou also grant a visit there? We are so dependent upon the work of thy Spirit. Lord, may we be given to feel our dependency more, and may the prayers be multiplied to that end, and a profound impression that it is all sinned away, undeserved, forfeited. But, O Lord, do visit us and answer us in thy mercy and in thy faithfulness. Pardon us of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 342, the four stanzas. Oh, let my supplicating cry by thee, my gracious Lord, be heard. Give wisdom and deliver me according to thy faithful word. And what follows, Psalter 342, the four stanzas. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, then by renewal we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 23, the third verse, the first part, He restoreth my soul. Our text words speak of the Good Shepherd restoring his sheep, with three thoughts in the first place, the need for this restoration. Secondly, the manner of this restoration. And in the third place, the fruits upon this restoration. Beloved congregation, when by renewal we may consider a portion of Psalm 23, where we hear of the confession of the sheep concerning the shepherd, then we do well, do each time closely examine our hearts, whether by free and sovereign grace we have now become a lamb and a sheep of the Good Shepherd. And when that takes place, congregation, then matters shall be experienced more than feeling and emotion does not go without it, but then matters shall be experienced, and then especially further declared in this solemn, that those lambs, those sheep, that they need the pardoning of their sins through the death of the good, the great, and the chief shepherd. Then we have heard last time the need for this restoration. Then the sheep in our solemn was given to confess with that confession that he was a sheep that has gone astray, and that already, because in verse 3, it is before that the flock has went up into the mountains for the summer pastures. Thus, alas, the sheep had to confess already soon, a sheep that has gone astray. And then we have heard last time, maybe boys and girls, maybe you can remember a few of those points, the different ways of when a sheep needs to be restored. Then we have spoken of a wandering sheep, and then with that restoration, then we can make a separation, a sheep that is in great trouble as a consequence of sin, and on the other hand, their own doings. Because it also can be with a wandering sheep, because a sheep is frightened so quickly, and the true people of God, they know what it is, one thought and one question, and it can all be upside down. It can even be when those sheep are frightened, that they are so frightened that they run the wrong way, away from the shepherd instead of to the shepherd. Then secondly, then we have mentioned a cast sheep, boys and girls. You remember what that is, when a sheep ends up on its back with its legs up in the air, impossible to come on its feet. We have mentioned it even happens, the vulture circling, ready to prey upon such a sheep. Oh, then the great need, when a shepherd sees those vultures, then that shepherd, he hastens to that place. that he may rescue that sheep. Then in the third place, then we have spoken of sick sheep. Can be many sicknesses that attack a sheep. Then the need to be restored to health. The expression is common. That is, sick sheep is even a dead sheep, but not with the great shepherd. Because the great shepherd, oh, he has that balm in Gilead that he applies and that saveth to the uttermost. Then there are those sheep that can be so discouraged that know it no more, that they even separate themselves from the flock because they write bitter things against themselves. Oh, they feel they are not as other sheep, not as beautiful and not as clean. Oh, by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, then they are uncovered deeper and deeper. There can be circumstances in the way of providence that the sheep need to be restored in the way of persecution and also the trials that the Lord sends upon his people. And now our second thought, the manner of this restoration. And then David has said, he, that is the Lord, restoreth my soul. And if we would have spoken to David and we would have asked him concerning those four words, David, what do you mean? Then he would not say those words speak for itself. But then David, the psalmist, could declare, oh, to a shame that he was a sheep that needed restoration. Of course, in the moment of regeneration, then there is that restoration when the Lord looks down upon a sinner by the work of the Holy Spirit through the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ. But then it is clear in our text words that it is a restoration by renewal. Then we speak of a backsliding sheep, as we read in the prophets Jeremiah and in the prophets Hosea. And thus a David, then he would be enabled to tell us, oh, how he needed that restoration, and that he could not restore himself. Of course, we have a rational mind. We are called to use the means, but they need to be blessed. But then a David could also tell us how that the Lord, as the good shepherd, oh, how he has restored him. And now concerning that restoration, the Lord has many means. In the first place, then especially he uses his holy word, and the sheep and the lambs, they are called upon to diligently search that word. If we think of Revelations 2 and 3, then Christ, he has sent those seven letters to those churches with also seven times that admonishment to repent. Oh, we have read out of Psalm 51 that the Lord has sent a Nathan. Thou art the man that was used for his restoration. Oh, then David as a sheep, he has come in the guilt and was given to cry for mercy. Sometime the Lord uses the wolf. Oh, when a sheep that has wandered away and he hears the howling of the wolf, given to shiver, and then sometime the wolf is used to drive that sheep to the shepherd as a type of the devil. I read in Romans 8, verse 28, for the true sheep, for the true child of God, that all things work together for good to him that love God, that are called according to his purpose. At times, the Lord even uses the world or another church, that they are given to ask pointed questions when the sheep is on the wrong place or when the sheep does not tell the truth. We have the example in Genesis 12 of Abram when he has said his wife was his sister. And then the Lord has deeply afflicted Pharaoh and his house. And then the king of Egypt at least was called Pharaoh. Then he was given to ask Abram, what hast thou done? And then an Abram has come into the guilt. At other times, the Lord uses trials in the way of providence. Because I read in Micah 6, verse 9, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? And then when a sheep is backsliding, has went astray, then the Lord sometimes uses hard means to bring that sheep to its senses, that it may return. Think of Jonah the prophet. When he has fled from the Lord has sent a great storm. What else does the Lord use? Sometimes the Lord uses his goodness, and that they may receive a soft heart. Romans 2 verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance. And now concerning, he restoreth my soul. Then the good shepherd has many different means to bring a sheep back unto himself. Of course, still a sheep, but to bring the sheep close, that they may see each other and speak to one another. There's not same thing in a hospital, boys and girls. Then in the hospital, they do not have one big pot of medicine that they give to everyone that comes to the hospital. But then in the hospital, they have different medicines for different diseases. And so it is also with a good shepherd, as that good physician. Then in the first place, a wandering sheep, many times even a lost sheep, then what does the good shepherd do? Earlier days, then that shepherd, he counted his sheep. And when there was one missing, then that shepherd became greatly concerned, undoubtedly, counting them one more time. And we read in Luke 15, the verses 4 through 7, that such a shepherd, then the Lord Jesus Christ has, of course, used very strong language. Because under normal circumstances, would a shepherd now leave those 99 sheep that have stayed close to the shepherd and leave those 99 to themselves and go and search for that lost sheep? But Jesus is using that language to explain his great love for all the sheep, even for that sheep that is lost. Thus first, then he goes and finds that sheep. And then when he finds that sheep, and of course, there can be a difference. And for a natural shepherd, it is not always so easy to know. But the good shepherd of a sheep, he knows perfectly whether it was willful wandering, whether it was carelessness, whether it was ignorance, whether they have been frightened. And now the good shepherd, oh, when he finds a sheep, then it cannot be different, that he calls that sheep by name and that he speaks to that sheep. We even read in Isaiah 40, verse 11, concerning the lamb, that the shepherd would pick that lamb up and put it to his bosom, maybe one shield under its coat, and that such a shepherd would speak so comfortably to that lamb. Oh, do we not read in Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort, comfort ye my people, thus a wandering sheep, and then the shepherd shall bring it back into the sheepfold. Sometime a sheep needs to be chastised. Then in the second place, a sick sheep also needs to be restored. A sheep is subject to many sicknesses. And then the shepherd has to know what the disease is, what the sickness is, and when there may be means, that means may be used. Of course, the natural example is only a faint type, because sheep farmers know that they lose many sheep. A wolf, coyote, but also when they are sick, that many times such a sheep dies. But now concerning the sheep of the good shepherd, what is now the greatest disease of those sheep? And that is what those sheep learn. And that is sin. And now the good shepherd, oh, that is the separation between the precious and the vile, because in the way of providence, congregation, we can experience much. But the true sheep of the good shepherd, by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, they are uncovered to their sin, which brings about separation and all that breach for the sheep. Then they are given to cry unto the Lord. But now the good shepherd, John 10, has given his life for all his sheep. And I read in 1 John 1, verse 7, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And now we have heard from the fifth petition, from the Lord's Prayer, concerning that petition, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Then the true sheep learns the necessity of that daily cleansing, also because of their wandering. Then in the third place, then we have the cast down sheep. Many times, they are sheep that are fat and that of much wool, and sometimes dirty sheep that their wool is filled with dirt. He restoreth my soul. Oh, if the shepherd, for a natural shepherd, then it happens sometime that a shepherd comes too late and the cast sheep has died, maybe already vultures eating that sheep. But with the good shepherd, it shall never be, because I read in John 10, verse 28, that the good shepherd giveth life unto his sheep, and they shall never perish, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Oh, you can picture it, boys and girls, a shepherd, a sheep that is missing, and in the distance, he sees one of his sheep, legs up in the air. What shall then such a shepherd do? Then he shall run as fast as he can. And then he shall roll that sheep over. And they tell us that such a sheep, after it's laid on its back for a certain time, that the legs have become numb. Oh, then such a shepherd, then he shall speak to such a sheep. And then he shall encourage such a sheep. And then he shall help that sheep get back on its leg, and that it may come back to the flock. But shall such a shepherd do more? What do you think, boys and girls? Then the shepherd shall examine that sheep, whether there was a cause, whether such a sheep has come on its back. And then they tell us that many times that such a shepherd will take the wool, shear the wool off such a sheep. And a wool, we may see that as an emblem of pride, because those sheep, they have much pride left in their heart. What a struggle that can be. But now it is necessary that a shepherd shears a sheep, that wool is taken off, all that filth that points to the world, too much of the world, that sheep is carrying along, because the shepherd knows what is best for the sheep. And then sometime when such a sheep is shorn, then they appear very naked, and then former scars, they appear. It is so profitable for the sheep that each time they are reminded where they have come from, where the Lord has found them, and what else. Because we have said it can also be many times fat sheep end up on their back. Then they must be put on a certain diet. Oh, the Lord, he needs many a times to chastise his people to bring them on the right place. But now further, also discourage sheep, whether it is really so much with ordinary sheep, people that have sheep, they shall know it. But surely the sheep of the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, they can have much to do, it is true, with those sheep, different characters. There was a big difference between Peter. Oh, that was a sheep that had too much wool of pride. He was given to repent. He needed to be sheared. But a great difference between Peter and between Thomas, both dear sheep of the good shepherd. This character plays a role. But how discouraged those sheep can become. But what does the good shepherd now do? This written in the Bible. What a psalms and what a words there are for sheep that have questions, that have riddles, that are downcast, discouraged. When the Lord begun that good work, they hoped they would become a lamb that would quickly grow up and be a sheep that would always be close to the shepherd to hear the voice, that they would immediately obey, that they would not be a sheep when the shepherd has called them, that they would stay grazing for another minute and the shepherd has went further on, then they hoped that they would become a sheep that would be well pleasing to the shepherd, the best sheep in the sheepfold, on account of that love that the Lord has shed abroad in their heart. And now to be given to experience, oh, that inward depravity, their sins, their unthankfulness, their prayerlessness, it can be multiplied out. And then how downcast they can become. Think of Psalm 42, where we read, "Why art thou so cast down, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me?" But then in those psalms, then the good shepherd is given to speak to those sheep, those discouraged sheep. They find their situation, their name, their circumstances written in the Bible. And then how eagerly they are given to read that word, what follows. And then the good shepherd is given to comfort his sheep. Oh, many a times we read approximately 65 times in the scriptures that the good shepherd, that the Lord says to his people, fear not. And that implies that they have many fears inwardly and outwardly. And then in the scriptures, it is clearly written that the Lord most perfectly knows all their fears. And he calls unto them that they may pour out their heart, as the dove in the Song of Solomon 2 verse 14, that they may tell him everything. But what a precious fear not we read in the scripture. And then the Lord does not only say fear not to the sheep, but he also giveth the reasons. Think Genesis 15 verse 1. Then the Lord has said, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Oh, Isaiah 41 verse 14. Fear not, O worm Jacob, I will help thee. I am thy redeemer. Oh, think on the morning of the resurrection, when the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was risen from the dead, then he has sent the angel to the tomb, and then the angel has said to the women, fear not, for he is not here, he is risen. Behold the place where he is laid. Oh, so the Lord Jesus Christ has visited that weeping Mary Magdalene at the tomb. Thus far discouraged sheep, then he speaks comfortably unto their souls and many times gives them a promise concerning the future. And then such a sheep may be revived. They may be given to believe that they are a sheep indeed. And then, oh, they also need much correction, because the sheep that stay closest to the shepherd, they shall hear most clearly his voice. And then it can also be in the way of providence, those trials, that for the sheep, the way becomes so difficult, many questions. But the Lord has promised to take care of a sheep. But now concerning the sheep, he restoreth my soul. Of course, boys and girls, you know it. Sheep, they do not have sin. And in our text, it says, he restoreth my soul. It's true in the Bible, that word soul, that does not only mean the soul that needs to be saved, that we have body and soul, but that includes the whole person, our feelings, our emotions, everything that is connected to such a sheep. But a sheep does not have sin. Have there been times that we have been jealous of the animals and birds? Does that ever happen? That you say, Lord, that sheep, that lamb, has no soul, no sin. But I have a soul, and my sins are great and manifold. Oh, that maybe you thought, was I but a sheep? But we are not a sheep. We are a human being with a body and with a soul. And then our calling is that we may be given to earnestly seek, that our soul may be saved. The Lord has given his inspired word to that end, that sinners may be saved. Oh, it can also be. We would think it cannot be different. A farmer and a shepherd. When at times that he sees a sick sheep, a suffering sheep, a dying sheep, that his heart becomes a little soft. And that maybe he has to say with the David, Lord, I have sinned, but what has this sheep done? The sheep has never sinned. And it must now suffer so extremely because of my sins. He restoreth my soul. Natural sheep, they have no sin. But the sheep of the Good Shepherd, their sins are great and they are manifold. And does the Lord now step over the sin of his people? Needs to be learned. And it's true, when the Lord works, there can be those times that the Lord sheds his love abroad in the heart, that it seems that all their sins are covered. But how is it now possible in our psalm that David, when he speaks of the shepherd and the sheep as a type of the living church, that he says he restoreth my soul? Does now the Lord step over the sin of his people? We find the answer, the same word, as we find in Psalm 23, restore. We find the answer in Psalm 69, verse 4, a messianic psalm, where it also refers to the work of Jesus Christ, to the saving of his people. And then we read of the Good Shepherd. He restored which he took not away. What has the Good Shepherd now restored? And that was for the glory of his Father and for the welfare of his sheep. Then in our deep fallen Adam and through our actual sins, then we rob God of his glory. The justice of God has been trampled upon. The Lord's law dishonored and disobeyed. Thus there needs to be much restored in the life of those true sheep. And that is what the Spirit teaches them. And in that way, room is made in the heart of a sinner for that blessed Jesus who has restored what he took not away. Oh, concerning the sheep, in our deep fallen Adam, there we have lost the image of God, no longer the jewel of creation. We have become disobedient to all the commandments of the Lord. But now the Lord Jesus Christ, it is written, he restored which he took not away. Because the Good Shepherd, oh, as a sheep he was led to the slaughter. We read thereof in Isaiah 53, and that he has taken upon himself the iniquities of those sheep. The Good Shepherd had no original and no actual sins, but he has restored what he took not away. Then he has become the substitute for his people. Oh, he has taken upon him all their sins and iniquities so willingly and so freely. The Father has laid it upon him as a sheep, and to that end he was led to the cross. He opened not his mouth, and in the way of active obedience, perfectly obeying the law, and in the way of passive obedience, that he has suffered and died, then he has restored what he took not away. And therefore David could say in the psalm, concerning the true sheep of the Good Shepherd, he restoreth my soul. Our third thought, the fruit upon this restoration. Let us first sing Psalter 221, the three stanzas. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. And what follows, 221, the three stanzas.
Thank you.
The Good Shepherd restoring his sheep. The need, the manner, and now thirdly, the fruits upon this restoration. Then, boys and girls, what do you think? If now a sheep could talk, and we have a restored sheep, one that had been sick, ready to die, and then the Good Shepherd has administered medicine, and that sheep was totally healed. Or a wandering sheep, and that the wolf was close by, and that the shepherd has come in time and brought the sheep back to the sheepfold. Or a sheep lying on its back, the vultures ready to pick at its flesh, and that the shepherd has come and picked that sheep up and turned it around, and when it was strengthened, returned it to the sheepfold. Then I think, boys and girls, that if such a sheep could talk and speak, that they would be given to speak of the Good Shepherd, what he has done, that he may be restored, and of course, what is now the natural shepherd compared to the Good Shepherd of his sheep, where the Good Shepherd has loved himself to death, that sheep may be saved. Oh, then such a sheep shall be filled with thanksgiving, and of course, in the life of the true child of God, so dependent upon the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. When we speak of the restoration of the sheep, and that shall be each time by renewal, oh, at the beginning, then that sheep hope to become better and better, and after they have been restored, what a vows can be made. But the sheep needs to learn. They have much to unlearn and much to relearn. And so it is also concerning that restoration. Oh, then it cannot be different in the restoration of the sheep, whereby renewal, misery, deliverance, and then there shall be thankfulness, because I read in the prophet Isaiah, this people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. Oh, then it cannot be different than for such a sheep, that as we read in Job 23 verse 16, that their heart becometh soft by renewal, and that they are filled with bewilderment and humility, that the shepherd, oh, then the sheep, then they are given to meditate and given to praise the Lord concerning the attributes of that Good Shepherd. Oh, his wisdom, his mercy, his goodness, his faithfulness, his patience with such a sheep. Oh, to say it simply, then for such a sheep, it can be such a wonder that the shepherd is willing to try it with them a little longer, that they may still have a place in the sheepfold, people of God. Does that still happen? How is it concerning this text? He restoreth my soul. What is our position in relation to the shepherd, needful to know the shepherd? We have heard of different cases also of that restoration. And then what a blessing it is when the sheep may be brought back. when the sheep by renewal may be fed in those green pastures and may lie down beside the still waters, ah, then that sheep may experience that sweet communion with the shepherd, that they may hear his voice continually, that they may be given to follow him. Oh, then it cannot be different, but that their mouth shall be filled with the praises of the Lord. Oh, read the Psalms, Psalms 145 through 150. Praise ye the Lord. I will extol my King. Think of the bride in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. She was a restored sheep. The beginning of that chapter, the bridegroom has come, we have mentioned it last time, a long journey filled with the dew of the night, has knocked on the door, used such sweet words, but that lazy bride, she had put off her coat, how shall I put it on, and she has not opened that door. But then the bridegroom has put his door to the handle, and that was dripping with myrrh. That is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then she was risen from her slumbering. She went on the streets, met the watchman, beaten, called the daughters of Jerusalem to help her, that she may find the bridegroom. And then the last verses of that chapter, they are filled full of praise, describing the bridegroom in all his beauty. And that is now the fruit of that restoration. And then at the end, she is said to the daughters of Jerusalem in verse 16, "This is my beloved, this is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem." That is the fruit in the life of a restored sheep. And now we find those fruits clearly declared, many fruits. Oh, what a blessed place to come. A restored sheep. When David was restored, he has sinned grievously, and the sword would not depart from his house. The sheep, they sin not sheep. The Lord is a jealous God of his honor. Oh, what a responsibility, let us say that. That sheep have concerning the lambs. Because many lambs, they have went the wrong way because they have followed their mother. Mother has wandered away. The little lambs have followed. And so they all got into trouble. Thus, what a responsibility office bearers, teachers, fathers and mothers. But now concerning Psalm 51, a restored sheep, then we have many points that declare the fruits. In the verses 1 through 4, prayer and supplication with the confession of sin against thee. Thee only have I sinned. Gave such a good-doing God, the Father, in his providential care, the further instruction against a crucified Savior and an indwelling Spirit. Then in verse 5, a deeper uncovering, not only actual sin, but original sin, because David has said when he was restored, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. This David was given to confess. No hope from this person forever. Then further, then we read in verse 6 that David was given to confess, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." Thus David did not say, "Lord, thou knowest thy sheep shall not be perfect. Sanctification is only in part." No, then David, when he was restored, was given to confess that the Lord had a right to demand perfection because he has created us perfectly. Then in verse 7, because God's people, they learn that with the confession, "Oh, for restored sheep, what a privilege and what a blessing it is when there may be that heartfelt, sorrowful confession concerning their sins." But the Spirit shall teach them that with a confession that is too short, our sins need to be washed. And therefore David is added that he may be purged with hyssop. Then further, was David now satisfied when he would now be purged with hyssop? No. In verse 8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." That is the desire of those restored sheep. Lord, to hear thy voice, to feel thy embrace, to walk with thee, to experience that communion, to receive a further word of instruction. Then further, we read in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Thou knowest that I am so prone to wander and to stray, can be in many different ways. Thus grant me a clean heart." In verse 11 and 12, very strong language. "Cast me not away from thy presence," clearly declared in God's word, the perseverance of the saints, but in the way of experience. God's people can come to a place that they sin it all away so much, so unworthy to be a sheep, that with the David, "Lord, I am worthy to be cast away forever and ever, but may I remain a sheep in thy presence. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And in verse 12, we have that word restore. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And then what else? In verse 13. "Then I will teach transgressors thy ways." Then those sheep. Then they are given to speak with the desire that all people may become a lamb and sheep of this great shepherd. Then they can say, "It's possible for me." In that restoration, after receiving so much mercy and so much grace, and then still went so far astray, and that I have been brought back, then there is none for whom it is impossible, with that vehement desire that all people may be saved. And verse 16, "The sacrifices that the Lord requires," the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And verse 17, then those sheep become exercised with the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. People of God, how is it with those fruits? Clear fruits in Psalm 51. Diverse fruits, which Christ has also merited for his church, which are granted by the Holy Spirit. Oh, the fruit of that true thanksgiving. And concerning that thanksgiving, then we read in Hebrews 13, the verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do as well, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, those that are not sheep of the Good Shepherd, those that have not been born in Zion, those that are still unconverted, that are still a goat, wilt thou fill them with a holy jealousy. May they be given to faithfully use the means, search the scriptures, and bow their knees where they may tell thee all, and that they have heard that there is such a good shepherd that can save to the uttermost, where there are no impossible cases. Lord, where thou hast begun, thy people know what it is, the need, and that not only for the first time, but each time by renewal to be restored. And a David was given to confess, he restoreth my soul. And, ah, Lord, then the blessed fruits, need for examination in the lives of thy people. Lord, we have heard of a personal restoration. The need is great of a revival in the midst of the church, in the midst of our country. We have sung thereof. May it please thee to remember us in these solemn times. Wilt thou graciously watch over us on this Sabbath day? May it be spent profitably. May the means of grace be blessed. Return us in this evening hour and forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 111, the stanzas 2 and 3. A new and joyful song of praise he taught my thankful heart to raise. And many, seeing me restored, shall fear the Lord and trust. And what follows, Psalter 111, the stanzas 2 and 3. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.